This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The Cowboys COO joins us Fridays in the 2 o'clock hour here on 105.3 The Fan. Maybe we'll ask him about this Josh Norman bulletin board material. And some of the other big topics of the day when it comes to the Cowboys. Segment is brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more. Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS, the official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. And a good afternoon to you, Stephen. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. I wanted to know, how long into the offseason did you start feeling like, wow, we're really going to get people excited with what this offense is going to do when we get out there September 8th?
Well, I think we felt good about our offense really coming out of last year, and just felt like, you know, if we could add some wrinkles to this thing and do some different things, which is why we ultimately made the change with Scott and Kellen, that, you know, we could take it to another level. But, you know, with the offseason we had, you know, always tough to lose a good player like Cole Beasley, but replace it, you know, replacing with, you know, Cobb and what he's done for us from Green Bay. Obviously, you got a little peek of that in that first game, and then getting Travis Frederick back and Jason Witten back. We just, you know, felt like the pieces were there for us to really have a dynamic offense. But it's just one game, and we obviously got to bring consistency, you know, to this as we move forward game by game. But certainly a great start. But we all know, you know, it's just one game.
So, Stephen, I put in the call for this to be a top three defense before the season started, and we've been kicking it around today, and I wanted to get your opinion. The amount of yards that you guys gave up is high, but until the game was pretty much decided, you only gave up 10 points. How did you guys evaluate as a defensive performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to, you know, got to take your hat off to Saquon, and hats off to Eli. He always plays well against us. But as you said, we were able to really, you know, for the most part, hold them down on, you know, on the points. But, you know, we can certainly do better than we did on defense as well. I mean, I just think, you know, we got to have our run fits better, especially when you're playing a great back like Barkley. He's going to make you pay if you're not perfect. And certainly he had some big plays against us. And, you know, you get to focus in on a guy like him. And then, you know, Eli, as I said, he's always played well against us. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ. And, you know, you got to give them some credit as well. But I do expect as we move forward, our defense will continue to improve, and we'll play better.
Stephen, two defensive health questions. How's Tyrone Crawford doing? And then next week, when Robert Quinn is eligible to come back, will he be healthy and ready to play?
Well, we'll evaluate, you know, Quinn next week. He's, you know, historically, from the day he walked in the door, been in great shape and ready to go. So I'll be really surprised if he's not able to contribute, but we'll obviously take a good look at that, you know, when he comes through the door on Monday. And then Tyrone Crawford should be ready to go against the Redskins. Or, you know, right now as we sit here today, there's no reason why he's not going to play and be ready to go against the Redskins.
Stephen Jones with us. Is there concern at all that, you know, while you guys still have one of the youngest teams, that you could overlook a team in week two after such a great start? Is overconfidence a possibility going into D.C.?
You know, I'd only say this, as we practiced about as well as we practiced this week. And so I think the guys are focused. I think they put the giant game in the rearview mirror, and they're totally, you know, got a focus toward moving forward and know they got to continue to play well. So, you know, I would be surprised if that happens. I mean, Jason and his staff do a great job of preparing our football team. They felt like they had an edge all week, and I'll be surprised if we don't play well.
And how about if you need it, Josh Norman possibly providing a little bit of motivation and bulletin board material? Have you seen what he said about Dak's performance?
I have, and, you know, usually that stuff does. You know, not a lot of good comes from being critical of a team or anybody on that team as you're getting ready to play them. And certainly they're messing with one of the top competitors in this game in Dak, and I'm sure he, he took that to heart, and not that he's not already ready to go play and play at a high level, but certainly look forward to seeing how that plays out.
Steven, do you have a burner Twitter account by chance? Are you creeping around online, taking a look at what's going on?
No, I don't. I just, I'm not a big social media guy. I read about it in our clips, but overall, I stay away from that for the most part.
Okay, I asked because yesterday we have a Taco Charlton tweet that just said the waiting game, and maybe he ordered pizza or maybe the rumors that we see flying around about maybe trades. Is there anything you can say about the status of Taco Charlton?
No, other than he's on our team, and he's had a really good preseason for us. You get into mixing and matching depending on who you're playing. You want to put and especially if you've got some position flexibility, then that helps. And so we'll just continue to see how this goes, and we'll go from there.
Okay, without using any particular player name, so just forget my previous question altogether, but when it comes to the value of a player to other teams, how long can you hold on to the value of kind of where you were picked or where a team graded you, even if it's 2 or 3 years down the road?
Oh, I think it just depends on the player and the performance. It's just like Amari. He was the first-round pick, and he held his value. There are other players who are first-round picks that get waived. There's players that you get late value for, and then there's ones who are middle value. I think it's all a function of your performance on the field and your full body of work.
Steven Jones with us. I see Jonathan Allen and Jordan Reed. Couple of pretty big time players for the Redskins are out. How else is the rest of your health situation and Zach Martin, Byron Jones, and down the line, are you guys feeling as close to 100% as you can be?
Yeah, we're sure close. I mean, obviously Gifford's not going to play, but I think those guys are going to continue to work in and get more reps. So we feel real good about the health of our team as we're sitting here today. I know those things can change quickly, but overall feel good, and can understand what Washington's going through. Those are two of their better players, and I know they're going to hate not to have them.
Steven, during the game, Aaron Andrews had a report, and Troy Aikman talked about it, that Jason Witten really didn't want to come in and then, I don't know what the exact words, but take over and be another big-time team leader like he's been throughout his pretty much whole career with the Dallas Cowboys. Can you explain maybe specifically what he's not doing and what he used to do, how he's backing off and possibly letting other guys do certain things?
Well, I think Jason just exudes – Jason Witten exudes leadership. I mean, it's impossible for him not to be a leader, and – the respect that he carries in our locker room is second to none. But, I think the bigger thing is, we all remember Jason that never wanted to come off the field and might still not want to, but he's still at the same time, he's got to understand what's in his best interest at this point in his career in terms of, a pitch count. And then the other thing is he knows that we've got to, bring guys like Blake Jarwin and Schultz and those guys along. So, in the past, I don't know that he had a lot of tolerance for that. He was wanting to be in there every play, and I think, to that degree, he's probably got a bigger view, a larger view of what we're doing as an organization in terms of what he's doing different.
Steven, have you had any communication with anybody with the Miami Dolphins over the last, 24 or so hours?
Have we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we always, when you hear rumors or you get called, you have conversations between myself, Jerry, Will. We're always checking around and seeing what's going on. So, we make those visits. Of course, those are all sensitive because, when you're talking about somebody else's player, because they are their player, and until something different happens, and we're not going to talk about any specific names of guys or anything like that. But we, have a pretty steady diet of visiting with other teams. I mean, we're always trying to improve our roster. If we see things or think players might be long somewhere, or if we think we're deep somewhere, then we float ideas out there. So that's just part of our player acquisition, player personnel process.
There was a conversation yesterday in the locker room after practice, who's the fastest Cowboy, and Cheetah was making a claim for it. Man, he took off to get to that sideline. I mean, you're the main personnel boss there, so is he the fastest, or who are your top candidates?
I tell you what, I saw that too. It'd be hard to argue, especially game speed. Not many people do that to Saquon, and that was very impressive what he did when he ran him down, and hard to argue with that. But as you know, we've got some guys with some great speed that, you know, that are sub 4.4 guys, whether it's a Tavon Austin, a Byron Jones, those guys, got real speed back there, and can Mari Cooper, they can get it. So, it'd be interesting to see who, if you really lined them up on a track, who'd actually win the race. But sure is great to have that kind of speed.
We did an article yesterday from ESPN on the show. We talked about it in the 5 o'clock hour, how the Eagles are providing the path, the blueprint to implementing analytics. And I don't want all the details or any trade secrets or anything like that from you, but are you involving analytics more for game plan and play calling this year than in previous seasons would be the question?
You know, I can't speak to Philly. I just know we use it. And I know – Jason and our coaching staff, like to get analytics from our analytics department. I know we use it for personnel. It's a part of it. Is it all of it? Of course not. But you do use it, to back up other thoughts you might have. But certainly it's being used here.
Appreciate the time, as always. Give him hell out there. We will be pulling for you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.